Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to Draft Forum 1.0. And we have got almost the entire Fantasy Pros crew here with us. Debra wasn't invited. He's not allowed to come in here.
We had Debra on a couple weeks ago. He had his
Juju
own show.
Juju Smith-Schuster slander.
That's right.
Bogman didn't allow him to come. It's not allowed here. But we do have Mr. Joe Pisapia and Andrew Erickson, both who you can hear over on Fantasy Pros. Good friends of ours. Joe, one of our besties. Andrew is definitely, you know, you're in the bestie crew. Like, you're part of the besties. You're just the new friend with us. But you're actually kind of maybe
up and comer.
Yeah, but you're like the popular.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, we all want your attention. We're all like, hey, Andrew, come
here. We've
all
seen Joe before. We want the new hotness's
exactly.
Attention.
The new hotness. Right. Speaking of hotness, right. Look at the gun show. There.
Look at this. Let's gun show it up. Wait, Erickson's wearing.
Oh, look at the peaks on Erickson. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Look at those muscle groups in here.
Is this video going to air? I hope so.
I got like right there. Let's all flex. Let's do a flex show. This is nice. Yeah.
Ooh, brother. Brother.
This is nice. Erickson.
Look at Joe Erickson. You like them apples?
Most muscular. Most muscular.
Nice. We have a gun show going on the video feed of this, as Erickson has got a nice sleeveless on here. Joe and I, we've both rolled up the sleeves. We're rocking. He's Johnny Cash. I'm NASA. And today, we are not going to just talk about arms and tan lines and friendships, but we are going to be talking a lot about all of the draft prep. There's a lot of camp
it's
stuff
got a
going
summer
on.
Summer camp
a lot of,
vibe going
yeah,
on
it is
right
a kind
here.
Of a,
the show
it,
does. Yeah.
It does. We're going to go through a lot of the different things that are kind of perusing your guys' minds going into draft weekend. Isaiah Pacheco is a big name going on. There's players that have had weird work early on that I think are causing weird draft questions, and we're going to hit all of those things. Coming up here in just a little bit. But, you know, Bogman and I were talking on our live stream, and we were talking, you know, Joe is one of our dear friends for a long time, probably our bestest of internet friends in real life. I've hung out with Joe, and we were saying how, you know, Joe is Joe, and Andrew, you're one of the nicest guys, but Bogman and I both secretly we're kind of hoping there's like a real good dark side to you. Is there a dark side? Like
sense of humor, at least you got that dark humor.
Bogman
all,
went or? Into some weird areas being like, yeah, maybe he's got something really going on. Like in the background, I'm like, nah, I hope it's not like,
I didn't say that.
Walker
I wasn't like
White
thinking
situation.
You're drowning kittens or anything. Like, yeah. I just said, do you have like a dark side? Cause you're like the nicest person ever.
The nicest
Every time
person on
I
the
ask
planet.
You to come on the show, you say, yeah, what time? Like there's never even a question. You're the nicest person.
Do you have like a
that
nasty
I know in the
algorithm
industry.
On Instagram or something like that that you can't share? Like I want to know that there's a dark side, just a little bit of a dark side, Erickson.
Well, the I'll say this. So the dark side comes out about 6:45, 7 a.m. in the morning when my pre-workout kicks in, and that's really kind of when I take out all the rage and just layering music in my garage, and I'm sweating because it's super hot out, and that's kind of that's why I'm so lax, you know, when I go on the shows, because I've already let all my energy out. So it's like in one of these days, you know, if I don't get a chance to work out, you know, before the show or before I start working, then you'd probably see a different side of me, a little bit more uptight, a little more aggressive. But you know, that usually doesn't happen because I always try to prioritize working out earlier in the morning, getting out of the way, and kind of set me up for the day.
So. A lot of fingers just got pointed with like, yeah, if I didn't work out, it's going to be a lot of aggressive and oppressive energy. Like, welcome to In This League. It's where oppressive energy lives, or we don't have any.
I mean, I have the same thing. I just work out in a different way, and it's late. So, yeah. You know.
Joe, are you hearing this stuff, Erickson? Are you hearing this stuff? Look at Joe right now.
It's nice to sit back and just listen for a change.
Oh, my God. I can attest to what I want to say right here.
I've known Erickson a long time now, and there's definitely a... A dark,
there's an edge
of Erickson edge, 100%.
You can see the edge when someone disagrees with him every once in a while. I can see the monster wanting to come out a little bit.
Part of that is he tries to get all the rage out before he has to do a show with me every day. So he knows that at least then he can be professional. So he's trying to like get it all out so that way he can, you know, give the illusion that everything is fine and he likes working with me. But I'm at a point now.
Erickson like, loves working with
my you. Rage. I'm almost getting too old for rage anymore. Like if I rage,
good for you.
It is really built up to a point where you better run away because I'm gonna like come after you. At that point, like it's gonna happen. But most things got the white guy serial killer vibes going.
If he gets too mad,
serial killer.
What are you talking
I'm just
about,
like,
Joe?
Well, you know me. You know I hate the fake tough guy thing. But like I get to a point where you know now it's like if things bother me, most of the time I'm just like whatever. Like I don't care.
Yeah,
I'm just over it. I'm at that point. But every now and then. I feel like, you know, I still got a little good one in me where I can still got the rage. Still there.
Go get your shine box, eh?
I love it. All right. Just trying to see the dark side. What's the music, Erickson?
Oh, it changes.
I mix it up.
It's like Dido and Nelly Furtado and Taylor Swift.
You don't wonder why.
I'm like a bird. I want to fly away.
It'd be creepier if it's like classical. You know,
yeah, it's definitely not classical. Cool. Like, it really changes. Like, sometimes it's like 80s music, sometimes it's more like modern, music. more hip hop. It really depends on kind of like what Spotify, you know, will end up giving to me that particular day.
Are you doing push ups to like take on me? Or
how about Here I Am, Rock You Like a Hurricane?
That's a good one.
Here I Am.
Well, girls just want to have fun. He's doing pull ups.
I'm going to let this marinate for a minute. Like, if you guys can see their face is pretty
good. We've just spent an hour together already, me and Erickson.
So, two for Welsh and I, so here we go.
Erickson, you are very balanced, and I am envious of it. And you are a great mind, as Mr. Joe Pisapia is as well. I'm envious of good balanced nature. But it's why we want you guys on. You guys are two of the best. Absolutely love you both. Love getting to do stuff whenever we possibly can. Joe, I miss not seeing your face every day on over on Fantasy Pros on the baseball side. So it's good to do this. And let's talk about some draft prep, as we have all been doing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo. All night.
We are a month out. We are into game action. We are going to get like real, real game action going on. And there are questions arising from big camp battles. Some are going to be fool's gold. Some are going to be the real deal. And the whole point of all of this is going to be able to figure out how we decipher all of this. So let's go through the motions. First one up here. There is a general panic level surrounding David Montgomery as he was doing special teams work. So this is something, what do we do and what do we consider any of this into our draft prep with David Montgomery? Erickson, let's start with you here. David Montgomery working in any special teams has people freaking out. Khalil Herbert, kind of someone we're all trying to, I just picked him up
splitting
in one of our best balls. Splitting ones.
Team reps with Khalil Herbert.
The trust in general with the Bears is an overall problem. Has some of this changed any of your thought process with David Montgomery, and how are you approaching him into drafts?
Didn't want to draft David Montgomery at all this year. Still don't want to draft David Montgomery. Khalil Herbert's a better running back. I think he fits the scheme that they're going to be implementing better. When you look at the way that he graded in the particular scheme they're going to run for PFF, he was higher than David Montgomery was last year. Now, the new coaching staff has no allegiance to David Montgomery. Montgomery was a volume play at best. And we don't even know what the volume is going to look like in a pretty anemic, uninspiring Bears offense. So, look, I don't even really care about the whole special teams thing. If anything, it's just weird because Montgomery is volunteering to like take more hits and do more damage to his body. Maybe it's him trying to just be like, oh my God, like how many times am I going to touch the ball on offense? Like, I got to find ways to up my stocks so when I hit free agency, I can actually find a job in 2023. So, I mean, I wasn't drafting him before. I don't want to draft him now. I'd rather draft Herbert.
He's in this third tier, according to Fantasy Pros, on the consensus ranks for PPR. This is obviously just not you guys. This is everybody. That sentiment makes me feel like he would be quite a bit lower. There's a couple guys that have some question marks, maybe as far as like full-time playing time, and like Travis Etienne or Breece Hall, you could throw in there. Maybe you question it with Elijah Mitchell, but even down to J.K. Dobbins, does anybody have a worse or better situation necessarily than Dave Montgomery? Joe, what do you think on that with Montgomery? He's in a, you know, it's a pretty high tier as far as compared to what Andrew is saying to maybe some of the perception going on. Third tier is as high as Leonard Fournette and as low as David Montgomery. How correct or incorrect do you think that is?
Well, once again, Andrew Erickson is correct that David Montgomery, you know, an offense that isn't very good. Why am I paying that rate for David Montgomery? And if you were watching last year, you saw Khalil Herbert for those 4 weeks, get the carries, be able to look good doing it. So to me, it opened a lot of eyes and people saying, all right, well, look, Khalil Herbert is clearly the more exciting back here of the two. And he was one of my favorite guys to draft late in any draft. You look at any Fantasy Pros draft, I have a lot of them where, you know, late RB Khalil Herbert. I didn't get him today. I just missed out on him by a couple picks. But yeah, I mean, why not take shots on guys like that late in drafts instead of taking big time investments in David Montgomery? Because, you know, still in that RB2 range, that you get that wrong, that sets you back. You know, if you're wrong about Khalil Herbert, it doesn't set you back. But if you're wrong about Montgomery, it does. And the offense isn't great to begin with. So why should you be super excited about Montgomery in the first place? So I'm with Erickson there. It wasn't a player I was targeting. If anything, you know, it unfortunately might start to rise the ADP of Khalil Herbert, which I don't like because I like getting him for free later on. So that pisses me off. Not to the point where I'm going to rage yet, but we'll see how the show goes.
So let me ask you this then. I think this term is overused a whole lot. I actually saw somebody do one of the threads, the kids in your tweet threads that you were doing, Erickson, you guys, someone, it wasn't you though, but your algorithms,
one of the algorithm eight.
Good. Yeah. Here's eight reasons why not wearing sleeves is good for your fantasy football season. someone said, here are seven players you cannot draft this season. And I think that's like way overblown, that whole concept of like, you cannot, they will ruin your team. But I'm going to ask you guys a question. Joe, we'll start with you. Is Montgomery a no draft player for you?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know you don't want him, but is he a
no? Because even if he slipped to RB3, like that's in the range too, where there's so many wide receivers in that grouping of ADP where I'm excited about taking them. And it's all about taking players that are going to move the needle in positive ways. So, you know, I'm sure there's a discount. Like if it was RB4 or something and I needed an RB, okay, that's fine. But at the same time, like that's probably never going to be a circumstance. There's always going to be somebody in every draft that's going to be, you know, kind of a slave to the ADP to a certain extent. And just somebody's going to buy into that because that's what the rankings tell them to do. But this is what's so dangerous about some of that group think is you get into this is the player's value, but the player's value isn't indicative enough of the downside of the player. And yes, an investment in him at certain spots can help you, can hurt you. I don't think as an RB3, it's going to hurt you necessarily. I don't think it's going to kill your team. But as an RB2, it could, especially if you're, you know, if your RB1 is shaky to begin with, or if your RB1 is injury prone.
Andrew, have you done a thread of the six reasons why we don't draft him? Is he a no draft? Will you lose your league if we draft Dave Montgomery?
I don't think he's going to help you win your league. I don't think he's like a league winner. And I think that, you know, matters in the context of guys you're taking. I mean, to me, he just kind of sticks out as a typical dead zone running back, basically uninspiring. You're just kind of hoping that he gets the volume. And there's a lot of running backs like that this year that, you know, they have to go somewhere in the rankings and they usually just kind of fall into back end RB2 territory because, oh, well, you know, he'll probably be the ball carrier leader for the Bears, you know, if he stays healthy. Like, that's the other thing, too. It's like, oh, well, if he plays all 17 games, like he's going to be RB15. It's like, oh, great. But he was RB30 in points per game. Like, what does that really do for me? Where, I mean, if he's like putting up some type of production and like you're flexing him, it's like, okay, like he's giving me some points. Like there's some merit to that and some value to that. But I try to always remember to be open to, okay, like, is there an actual price that I actually would draft this player at? And even though I don't like David Montgomery, part of that is because I don't like his price. Like when we talk about players, you have to talk about price. Like that matters so much because
it really does.
That's what I want to know. Like, what's the price? Like, if
I'm glad you bring that up. I don't want to interrupt you, but I'm glad you bring that up because I've talked about this in a couple different places where I think there are many people out there that will do what is like the ostrich strategy of just put their head in the sand and be like, well, I don't pay attention. I don't care what's going on around. It's like, no, you should. You should care about,
yeah,
and you should know
market price matters.
Market value and the price. And you should have an understanding of all of those because that is another tool in your fantasy football drafting tool belt that is only going to help you, whether it's knowing I can let this guy jump another round because the public sentiment is not as high over here or whatnot. So I'm just glad you brought that up because I think that is a really key point.
My thing with David Montgomery, and I was in before all this, and mainly it was because of the new head coach, Matt Eberflus, talking up David Montgomery all offseason. Like the first press conferences, David Montgomery, he's a professional. He's got the two M's that I like. I like M&M guys, motor and mean. That's what I like. And David Montgomery is one of those guys. So here he is talking up David Montgomery. I'm all in. And then we get to training camp. We're splitting first team reps. So yeah. You got to learn things. This is a new head coach. We've learned with Pete Carroll. Don't listen to Pollyanna Pete because everyone is the best player that's ever lived. And, you know, they're going to be great in this system and everything. That's what Pete Carroll does all the time. Matt Eberflus, talked up David Montgomery, then split his carries, and they also, this regime, has, chased Roquan Smith out of town already by trying to take advantage of him not having an agent. So this is not off to a good start in Chicago. That's all I'll say about that.
What's our next one, Box?
The next one here, I want to hear from the Pats fans. Ramondre Stevenson getting all the buzz, and this is particularly on Fantasy Pros. I mean, D-Bro is hitting this hammer way over the head. I think you guys have, too, but tell us why Ramondre Stevenson is such a better buy than Damian Harris. And do we believe this is going to be like a 70-30 Stevenson over Harris at this point, being that good finish to his season last year, plus all of this work with the ones in camps? Erickson, we'll start with you on that one. What do you think about Ramondre?
Yeah, I mean, I liked Ramondre a lot more when I knew that he was going to be cheaper than Damian Harris. But even in the most recent mock draft we did on Fantasy Pros, he went ahead of Damian Harris, in the mock draft. So it's one of these things where, you know, you're hyping up Stevenson with the cost already in your mind that, oh, he's already cheaper than Damian Harris. Like, you kind of have that baked into your analysis of Ramondre. You're talking about all the great things about, you know, how he's used as a receiver, how he graded really efficiently per PFF last year. And that's really a great indicator of future running back success, especially among rookie running backs. So he's checking off all these boxes and you're like, oh man, he's like cheap too. Like, that's awesome.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Now everyone is like caught up to that, and now everyone's drafting him over Damian Harris. And I mean, Damian Harris is still probably the starting running back. Like, you were kind of hoping Ramondre would eventually take over the role, which is why you never felt obligated to draft him over Damian Harris. Like, when week one comes and Damian Harris like leads the team in carries and scores two rushing touchdowns, people are going to be pissed. It's like, what happened? What happened to Ramondre Stevenson season? And it's like, that can still happen, but is it going to happen right away in week one? Like, no. Like, anyone that knows how they're going to project the Patriots' backfield is, I mean, you're just lying to yourself. It's really hard. And I liked Stevenson so much when he was cheaper, when it was a free bet on, okay, I'm just going to bet on the talent here. Damien's going, you know, in round six, round seven, like, touchdown regression is coming. Okay. But there's no guarantee that Stevenson, you know, gets the goal line role. Like, Damian Harris was good in that role last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they're both on the clock, I guess I still prefer Stevenson because that's the guy I just think at the end of the day, I think he's going to be better. But now Damian is kind of becoming an interesting value much later on, like going just outside the top 100.
Adding this for your guys on the ranks of Fantasy Pros, Damian Harris consensus is the 30th. Ramondre Stevenson is the 36th. But as far as ADP goes, Damian Harris goes as the 28th back. Stevenson goes as the 38th back. So if people are perusing Fantasy Pros, you're not quite seeing that, but drafts are going to start moving that.
They're starting to shift, Joe. they're starting to shift. Stevenson is getting all the love right now. You know, I don't trust many Oklahoma backs, so especially injury prone Oklahoma backs. So I haven't been on this train. Obviously, I've been more of the Damian Harris is going to fall. We're starting to see it. So where do you land on these guys, on Stevenson and Harris?
Well, in the PPR draft, we literally just finished with our users mocking against them. He actually did go a few picks ahead of Harris. And that is a bridge too far for me, because even if you think there's going to be, you know, the touchdowns aren't going to be there quite as bountifully as they were last year for Damian Harris, which is okay. They were a lot. That's fine. He's going to be in that general range, I think. They're still going to give him the ball a lot, and then they're going to send him on his way, because that's what they do in New England with running backs. So I would still take Damian Harris before him. I do agree that the gap should have always been closer. So I think what Andrew is saying is the same thing. Mike, my frustration is now the gap is closed officially. And we were taking advantage of the gap being wide. And that's why we love Stevenson so much. Now that the gap is closer, or dare I say inverted in some people's minds, I think that's an error. I think the invert's an error. I think the closing of the gap should be there, but you have to know what you're getting into. And I also think this is one of the weird circumstances where I don't often say this, but this is one backfield. Like, if you just have the entire backfield, it might serve you better in the long run, because if there is a Harris injury or a Stevenson injury, then
but you probably have to take those guys back to back now, right? Like on the
well, that's the problem is like if, but you know what? I mean, look at some of the guys in that same ADP range, you know, like you might as well. I mean, you might as well, because the thing is, you can make an investment in two backs and they're both a little sketch, or you could make an investment in two backs or both sketch on the same team and at least be pretty sure that you're going to get one of them to work out some weeks.
Yeah, that's true. I just see, by the way, it's so many Gap references. There's a joke in there. I just didn't
I'm wearing khakis about. Right now. You just can't
from see. The Gap. Okay. Boy, I mean,
boy,
you,
crazy
you're
boy.
Do it. But, Keep going.
Look, the Damian Harris.
Ramondre's got a rocket in his pocket. Go up ADP, boy. Take it slow. Don't take all the carries, Ramondre.
See, what I think you Andrew say? Also forgot. You both forgot. Like,
Erickson, did you not realize that 50% of the show is improv?
Yeah, so, what are you doing this?
That was not in the show sheet.
There's no time restraints. There's no restrictions. We can be chaotic. Like,
that's right.
We might have had a slight forget. Like, Joe, we're going to get Joe unleashed on this. Joe knows.
Oh, yeah. Here,
so it gets into chaos.
No,
yeah, you know. It's funny because this has always been my kind of approach. It's just getting a little bit more extreme. Like, Damian Harris is a good touchdown option. I think Ramondre Stevenson, from a fullback perspective, if you're looking from not a fullback, but like a full running back perspective, is the best type of fantasy option that you want. Because he can catch the ball. He's explosive. He can break out. I've liked Stevenson.
I don't
for
think
Welsh
years. That I think in the industry world, the Stevenson conversation has become a lot closer. I think in your regular casual leagues, like if you're just playing against people who just like fantasy football, Harris is still going to go well before Stevenson. You 1,000% can take advantage of that gap.
100% agree. Yeah. Your guys' Fantasy Pros ADP actually dictates that. Mm-hmm. Again, it's not a one for one.
And every host site's going to dictate that too.
And see, that's a huge point. Go back and listen. Anyone listen to our ranks analysis show where we took four different sites and show you where you get advantage. I think Ramondre was on one of those lists. On the Fantasy Pros ADP, which of course is not going to be 100%. And also when I just want to point out, when you're mocking on like Fantasy Pros system and you guys have ranks and you're getting suggestions, you're going to see the players higher than you might see in your Yahoo or your ESPN or wherever the hell you're playing sleeper leagues. But the ADP, consensus ADP across multiple sites, which includes sleeper, Damian Harris is the 66th player in PPR going. 73 is the sleeper cost. 87 is the ESPN. 58 is the Fantrax. Stevenson is down here at 108, with the highest being RTS Sports of 87, the lowest being ESPN at 111. So the
I'm
more
pretty
consumer
sure ESPN
sites
buried
people,
them like they do 50% of the
yeah
league,
the consumer so. Site people, you're going to get a little bit more advantage. on that, and it makes a little bit more sense. Let's go to another ridiculous backfield. This is one that is super stupid. Zach Moss is getting first team reps. How dumb is that? And you've got Devin Singletary, who Bogman was making a little bit of a case for when we talked about James Cook, but you got James Cook. James Cook is probably the back that we all want to take, you know, the talented rookie. You want to see him get that role. We thought James Cook, I think a lot of us assume James Cook would take on that Zach Moss type of role that they've thrown at us before. But now it's a mess. So, Andrew, what do you think? Zach Moss taking.
Wait, Andrew gets to go first every time. Who the hell is he? Who the hell are you?
You just.
Who are you so important over? Every time you get to go first.
You'll get the next one because it's sexiest it's your first. Guy. The next one we'll talk about. Yeah. I guess for me, it's with Zach Moss getting first team reps. You know, what's more important to me, like that happening or the fact that Devin Singletary was a top five running back over the last 6 weeks of last year? Like, if you have to make a decision on this Bills backfield based on one of those two facts, which one are you going to lean? I'm going to lean towards Singletary, like literally being the guy for them over a long stretch of games, as opposed to one practice where Zach Moss got some reps to the first team. What if Devin Singletary was like fixing his gear? Like,
it's not one practice though. It's been multiple practices.
Okay. They rotate players. Like,
yeah, that could definitely be part of it. It's just
showcasing him for other organizations. Think about that.
That could be a big part of it too. There's a lot of different reasons why you're absolutely right. There's a lot of different reasons why, but it's, you know, make up your goddamn mind, Buffalo. Like, you know, you literally bench this guy. Like, he looks like he's the starter, and then I don't know, he fumbles in practice or something, and he really gets no helmet week one.
The Buffalo Singletary
looks so good. You draft James Cook, and now you're running Zach Moss with the ones, taking away from Singletary's carries, and they're doing this weird thing with Cook where they're moving him like with the receiving back, so he's with Duke Johnson and Raheem Blackshear, and then the other three backs, Tywan Jones, Zach Moss, and Singletary are all practicing together. They're practicing separate. So this just looks like a mess. I think I'm with you, Erickson. I'm still on Singletary, but do you have any interest in Moss because he looks better like late or in is James Cook dead?
No, I mean, I think that I look at production. Like, who in this backfield has done anything at the NFL level and produced in fantasy? Devin Singletary. Like, it doesn't need to be this super hard. Like, we do this all the time. We overthink it where Fournette, the Buccaneers, like trusted Fournette down the stretch. And then the next year, we're all like, oh, well, let's try to draft Ronald Jones again. It's like, dude, who cares? Look at the guy that they trusted with the ball when the games mattered the most.
Right.
That was Devin Singletary. I could give two shits about what is going on in an August 8th, August 9th practice with Zach Moss getting first team reps. Like, who cares? Like, tons of players get first team reps. It doesn't matter to me. Like, what are you doing when the games actually matter? Zach Moss is on the bench. Like, that's what I see. So I'm going with what I've seen on the field. I've been drafting Singletary all summer long. If this discounts his price even more, I'm going to keep buying.
We got the dark side of Erickson there. I like
that. Yeah, I was going to say.
Let's go.
We kicked that hornet's nest. I love it.
It's like we do all this work and analysis during the summer, and then we just burn it to a crisp when we get one report from training camp.
No, we don't. This is why I hate going second, because Andrew's always right.
Well, it's good. So the Buffalo Bills running back situation is the Matt Rule of quarterback situation. It is a constant influx. You can't count on
anybody. About to be fired and go back to college?
But yeah, maybe. But we saw James Cook going before anybody in some of the early drafts into this year. James Cook, it's my problem always with rookies, and it's obviously different in football than it is baseball. But like, every rookie is anointed the starter and the greatest thing, and they don't all work. But you know, the majority of the last couple of years is it is working more and more and more, and these guys are taking over. So a lot of people wanted to anoint James Cook here, but now you got a situation where Singletary didn't get anybody excited. You got James Cook, who we thought would be the guy, and now Zach Moss is coming in. So, Joe, how screwed up is this in your mind, or are you with Erickson kind of full throttle on this?
I'm with Erickson full throttle, and the rookies that are working are wide receivers. So it's funny because Draft Wizard gives me reaches whenever I take Sky Moore or Chris Olave or any of these guys that I want to take all the time. But the guys that come into the league and kick ass right away are the wide receivers. The running back situation's harder because the responsibility of pass blocking, protecting the quarterback, understanding all those other nuances of position. You know, it's more about the things that they bring to the team overall, and then ball security and all the other things they have to prove. Whereas, you know, earlier it kind of circles back to the David Montgomery discussion we're having in flex this weekend. I wasn't looking to take Josh Jacobs, but he floated all the way to a point where he was my third running back. I'm like, okay. And Devin Singletary wasn't necessarily a target, but I got him as my fourth running back. And I'm going to say, okay, because those guys are in good offenses. So every running back has a purpose and a place and a cost. And the ones on good offenses like Buffalo or like the Raiders, where I think they are going to be a good offense this year. I'll take those guys at a discount every day of the week. David Montgomery, a discount is still just David Montgomery, unfortunately, because of where the Bears offense potentially might be. So I still like Singletary. I I think the camp stuff is just like in spring training, man. Like sometimes we get super excited because a guy has three home runs in a day and the wind's blowing out. And then, you know, come April, he doesn't make the team.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Picks and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world, says who?
IQ test you took in prison, brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Like, we should not, in the words of Andrew Erickson, burn all of our hard work and thought process to a crisp just because Zach Moss gets a couple reps with the first team. Like, I don't think it matters at all. If anything, I think it's just their way of trying to showcase him for another team to take him, because somebody might very well, he might end up on another roster.
I guess I'm not even so concerned about like Zach Moss and all of this. I'm thinking more about even.
I'm not concerned with Singletary. Singletary did it. You know, I go back to the first game of Singletary's career against the Jets because I have this weird like Sheldon Cooper identical memory and whatever it is.
Can't even remember what it's called.
I'm very good at
identical memory.
You know, whatever.
Memory. Might not have that, but it's pretty
Devin
good.
Singletary, pretty I remember in his memory. First game, you know, he really got a couple carries, and then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, they started giving the ball and they started moving the ball down the field, and he had these explosive runs. He looked really good, and then he got hurt, and then he missed a lot of time. And then, you know, kind of the end of the year, they kind of just faded away. The second year, again, injuries kind of derailed him. Last year, he got a good long run, and I'm just not going to throw that away because the balance of the Buffalo Bills offense was the key to their success. They were a very predictable team 2 years ago. Once they were able to run the football, they became less predictable. And that's why, you know, that game against the Indianapolis Colts with Phillip Rivers at home a couple years ago, that game got dicey because they had a lead and they couldn't run the football. Last year, they learned how to do that, and that's what made Buffalo so tough last year, and that's why I think it's going to make them tough again this year.
Yeah. I think, too, one thing I just want to hit on with Zach Moss specifically is, I know you talked about it when you mentioned James Cook working with the wide receivers.
Yeah.
And we see this a lot of the time with running backs. Okay, so, you know, we have a running back depth chart where you have the starter, and then you have, like, the pass-catching back, and you have, like, the starter's, like, actual, like, direct backup. Like, to me, that's Zach Moss. So if Devin Singletary goes down, like Zach Moss is the guy that's going to take over on early downs. So in an essence, he is still like the number two running back in certain situations. So those guys are supposed to get first team reps. So like that makes sense to me.
You mean if Singletary goes down?
Yeah, if Singletary goes down. Like, and what this is going to, I guarantee if Singletary goes down, everyone's going to lose their minds about James Cook in like week three. And then Zach Moss is going to have way more carries than we all project because James Cook is still rookie.
2.5 yards.
Exactly. So I think that's another thing to keep in mind, because I remember reading that somewhere, I think it was from The Athletic, where you know, Cook was going with the receivers, where Singletary.
He was the receiving backs, too. It was like with an offensive assistant. It wasn't even with wide receivers. It was like they had this group of Duke Johnson, Raheem Blackshear, and James Cook work off to the side by themselves, and then Tywan Jones, Zach Moss, and Singletary work.
And if I'm James Cook, I want to be where Duke Johnson. I want to learn from that guy. He's been in the league forever, and he's been a, you know, a guy who's played that role. Like, if you're going to start to, you know, become a pass catching back in the NFL, there's a lot worse guys to learn under than Duke Johnson. He's been around, he's been around lots of organizations. He's an established veteran. This is what you do for rookies. You expose them to different nuances of the game, and you get other veterans to teach them things.
All right. Enough about the Bills.
Well, hold on. Yeah. Real quick. I got one thing I want to do, but just make it quick. You don't have to go into big analysis. I'm going to hit two with you, Joe, and two with Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
James Cook or Michael Carter?
Cook, 100%.
Okay, James.
You want me to take a backup guy in the Jets? Like, barely want to take a Jet. Now you want me to take a backup guy?
Well, I mean,
in the
we're
Jets?
Talking about a guy that maybe is going to be the receiving cornerback in
I'll
Buffalo.
Take Cook.
James Cook or James Robinson?
Ugh. Come on. This one's more frustrating for me. I want to take Cook because I want to invest in the offense, but at the end of the day, I fear Robinson James might end up being the right answer.
Andrew, James Cook or Khalil Herbert?
Oh, that's easy. Why are you giving that one?
Yeah, I'll probably take James Cook.
Okay, James Cook or let me get one more good one. Nyheim Hines.
James Cook. I'm never drafting Nyheim Hines.
Same. Me neither.
No one on planet Earth except for Frank Reich is going to know when to start that guy. I'm dead serious.
Like, I don't even think Frank Reich knows.
No, because like Frank Reich's like, you got to draft this guy in fantasy. It's like, yeah, easy for you to say because you know the games where he's going to get involved.
Yeah,
like,
you also don't play fantasy.
Come on, Calvin Ridley. Tell us where it's going to be, buddy. I just want to point out the only reason I did that experiment is because that conversation – maybe not in your minds, I think sounded like a death sentence to James Cook and his overall value of why you would want to draft him. I just think that's how that would be perceived. He is the 38th running back on Fantasy Pros consensus ranks, and every running back I gave you is ranked under. And you guys actually, you still stood firm pretty much to all of those backs being over James Cook, and he is over all of them on there. So I just want to point out, I think something that's lost sometimes for lots of people is analysis and application. I think people hear things and they're like, oh, okay, well, that's a negative. So that guy is dead. And that is dead to me. And that's not necessarily the case all the time because it's being able to decipher. So I just wanted to point that out of all that negativity on James Cook and Devin Singletary, maybe Zach Moss, he's actually still ranked just outside of a flex running back. And I named four running backs, James Robinson specifically, very interesting. All you would take Cook over those guys. So I just wanted to point that out before we moved on to the next one, Boggs.
And the next one, Joe, you just said we don't want to overreact to guys getting first team reps. We don't want to, read too much into the tea leaves here. But Isaiah Pacheco seems to be imposing his will on this running back room in Kansas City, which, look, I think the reason that Pacheco is so intriguing is not just because he looks good in camp. There's a ton of guys that look good in camp that are not intriguing at all. Kenny Golladay looks great. Who cares? You know, you should. You're a veteran. You should look good going up against a bunch of, crappy corners. So you should look good, but Isaiah Pacheco is interesting because he kind of comes out of nowhere, right? Late round draft pick for this team, seventh rounder. And there's a little buzz on him in rookie camp. And then now he's eating reps with the first team. Yesterday, like it was reported he took the majority of the first team reps with this offense. Now, this could be, like Erickson said, look, we're just trying to get guys reps with the first team in case they have to go in there, right? So there's a lot being made about, who is getting these reps and all that stuff. But this job is not solidified in Kansas City by any stretch of the imagination. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they spent a bunch of money on. They paid Ronald Jones to come in. He could get cut if Pacheco looks good because Ronald Jones is not catching the football. So he has a very strict first, second down role. So, Jerick McKinnon is still here, who looked great down the stretch for Kansas City. So once again, you talk about you want to invest in these awesome offenses. How far is Pacheco moving up your board? Is he pushing any of those guys down? Or is this such a gross mess now? You're just like, look, it's Kansas City, I know, but it's Andy Reid still, and we just can't figure out this running back situation. I'm pushing everything away from it. So what do you like here in Kansas City, if anything?
What I like is he's free. And what I like is Pacheco, and this is why sometimes we have to trust ourselves a little bit, sometimes as analysts, so to speak, because I am more familiar with Pacheco than most people because he played at Rutgers right around the corner from my house. So I've seen him already. And Rutgers was not the best football team, but when I watched him play, I was like, this running back's really explosive. And then I remember, when I'm watching the combine, taking my notes watching the combine on NFL Network, sitting there doing all my stuff, I was like, wow, he looks really explosive. And like the same thing. And that's the thing I kept looking at. And I think that's what people want. They want these explosive running backs that can, break away. And the speed was really good. But, and I think that is something that if you look at this running back room, you've got 2 years of underwhelming Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and we can make all the excuses for him we want. And maybe some are valid and maybe some are not. Jerick McKinnon's a 12-time retread. I mean, at a certain point, like, why not Pacheco? And I think that's what's so intriguing is because it's a good team, because it's a good offense, because it was a player that already I was kind of low-key going, I wonder where he's going to end up. I wonder if he ends up being a decent NFL player. And then he ends up on the Chiefs, and you go, ooh, well, that would be exciting, wouldn't it, if things actually worked out? This is more.
I was more excited about Jerrion Ealy, to be honest with you, than Pacheco. Like, I thought Pacheco, all right, we got a kick returner, That's what I thought, but maybe that is what we have.
I think it's a fascinating thing to watch, and I think it's a trend to pay attention to. It's not something where I'm flying him up the rankings. I actually did draft him today with like one of my last picks because what if I'm right? And I keep telling this to everybody, whether it's Romeo Dubs, whether it's Pacheco, go ahead, be aggressive. Be aggressive on these guys. Take them. And if they suck, you're going to have to pick up guys week 2, 3, 4 anyway. You just cut them. But if you're right, my goodness, that's a big change because then all of a sudden they have trade value. And then all of a sudden they're impacting your roster positively. So I'm all about paying attention to some of these things where there's a big giant opening and Pacheco's got a big giant opening to be good because I'm not thrilled with any, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Like I don't know how Erickson feels about him. I have no shares of him anywhere. I cannot figure out who he is, what his role is. I can't do it. I'm out. I'm done. And Pacheco is a guy who's just sitting out there for free at the end of drafts. And I'm looking for extra running backs. I'll take him. I'll take Zamir White. I'll take a bunch of these guys and see if I'm right about any of them.
Erickson, what do you think about Pacheco in this whole scenario in Kansas City? Are you with Joe, like take a flyer on Pacheco, or is this another eye rolling camp? We don't care about first team reps thing.
Oh, I guess the thing with Pacheco is, and Joe kind of hit on this, you know, why is he standing out? Because he's the only one that has any type of speed in that backfield. Like, right. Of course he looks great. Like, because he runs a sub 4.4 and Edwards-Helaire, not explosive. Ronald Jones, not explosive. Like these other dudes are running through cement. So it's not like surprising to me that if you're a beat reporter and you're like, oh, wow, that guy looks really explosive. Yeah, because he is explosive. But
he got a Priest Holmes comp yesterday.
But there's more to playing running. That's a lot. There's more to playing running back than just being fast and being explosive. Now, because the only thing that matters, and this is something that we need to pay attention to with these high powered offenses. Like, why are we chasing, you know, this Green Bay Packers wide receiver? Because he's going to get targets. Who's catching touchdowns? Like, that's why you want parts of these good offenses. I don't care who's getting the carries in between the 20s for the Chiefs. Who's at the goal line? Because that's all that matters. And honestly, over the last couple of years, it's been no one.
I was going to say, the answer is nobody. So you might as well take
Michael Burton. Right.
So you might as well take what's between the 20s and go to take
Well, kind of not take anyone, I think, is Erickson's point.
Yeah, I mean, that's look, you need to know who the red zone back is. And
if he breaks one away, he's scoring. That's the one thing about Pacheco. If he breaks
Okay, but like, how often does that happen?
Jamal Charles is a track guy, and he wasn't that good at Texas, by the way. So, like, he was fine at Texas, but he wasn't what he was in the NFL.
Pacheco wasn't great at Rutgers because Rutgers was down by 30 points in the second quarter every
track
game.
Guy too.
But are you guys another track guy? Do you take the assumption that, you know, they bring in Ronald Jones, that Ronald Jones isn't like the clear idea and answer to what you're saying? They don't have a speed guy. Ronald Jones wasn't that. They don't have a red zone guy.
Ronald Jones could be that.
But that's what I'm getting at. Here's the funny thing. They had Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who everybody on the planet was anointing the number one. At Bogman, I remember you and I doing episodes, we're like, hey, listen, we're still JT. Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, not the three of us. The three of us never thought he was a top six player. That was absurd when he started to go that high.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire anointed as the guy. He's not any of the options we're talking about. He's not the goal line guy. Not the speed guy. So what did they do? They brought in two guys that can feed that role. If Pacheco's a speed guy, Ronald Jones clearly looks like a goal line guy.
But he fumbles the football. Well,
he could be Carlos Hyde. Remember when they brought in Carlos Hyde and then they just traded him or they cut him? He wasn't even factored in at all. And so Ronald Jones, I mean, once Brady says that he doesn't want you, I mean, other teams are going to recognize, oh, wow, like Brady, like he advocates for everyone that he wants on his team. And he's like, oh, Ronald Jones is a free agent. Okay, bye. Like,
So let me present it like this. So we get an answer on this. You have to pick one at cost in value. Clyde Edwards-Helaire as an RB3. Ronald Jones as an RB4, I'm going to guess. Maybe
5.
Where the hell is he? Yeah, 4 or 5. And last pick in Pacheco. So it's, you know, top 30 for Helaire. Top 50, you know, 40 to 50 for Jones.
You have to invest, Erickson. You have to invest. You got to pick one of these Chiefs running backs to buy.
I want to hear you say, you need to say Ronald Jones for your tight end argument. I want to hear it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
Wait, it's so, not right, going to be Ronald Jones.
What are the options again? So Everett Slayer is an RB3.
Yeah, yeah, so Ronald Jones will say in the RB5 and Pacheco's free at the end.
Yeah.
Can I? What about the other Chiefs running backs besides
Jared McKinnon's also free?
Sure. Yeah.
I'd rather take McKinnon or even Derek Gore because they all get first team reps. And Derek
you
Gore.
You love Derek Gore.
Derek Gore, talking back to the red zone usage.
Hey, ULM.
We literally saw him on primetime football get red zone touches. Then people ranked him as like a top 24 running back the next week, which was ludicrous. But that happened. So, yeah.
All right, Joe. Joey?
Well, the correct answer is none, but I'll take the free Pacheco.
Pacheco.
Well, only because, again, I think the one thing that they're missing the most here is that speed factor. So yeah, it's a matter. The explosiveness is something that when Tyreek Hill leaves the offense, you're lacking. So you saw Sky Moore getting some, you know, jet sweeps. You saw guys.
They're trying to find it somewhere. The Patriots are trying to do the same thing.
Exactly. They tried for years.
You drafted Tyquan Thornton.
They thought Mecole Hardman was going to be that guy, and he hasn't become that guy. So to me, I think that's been the I think the offseason showed you that they're moving on from Mecole Hardman. So after that, now it's like, okay, who else is in the nomination process? And I think it's Sky Moore and I think it's Pacheco. And maybe both of them remake this offense. And who knows? There's a script, unlikely but possible, where the guys that they brought in, they make this team all collectively way more dangerous than it was last year, potentially. No. It would take a lot of things going the right
way. Is the correct
but it's
answer.
Not impossible.
All right. One more running back one, a couple more camp issues. This one is a little bit more speculative than maybe the others. Kareem Hunt wants out. Do you think this trade happens? And if it does, what are the values that you see on Chubb without Hunt and Hunt going to another destination? You know, we talked about the Bills earlier. God, would Kareem Hunt just be a great, you know, put him on the Buffalo Bills in that and let him be the top guy. Like that got me.
Really? If Hunt just was just
wipe
on the Chiefs,
all that other stuff
it would just
out.
Like,
yeah.
Fix everything.
Well, what was the number you put today on the pod, Erickson? You're like, if Hunt went anywhere else, it's 67% chance of the teams or something like that.
Yeah,
he would like be an excellent running back.
Two-thirds of the NFL teams you go on, he would immediately be the RB1.
And there's situations where it's like, you know, I think a lot of people were like, hey, Atlanta would make sense. Why are they making these moves? Just because there's open spot. But Buffalo really could make a lot of sense.